Well, this afternoon we're going to look at a well-known psalm, Psalm 100. Adam's been leading us through some of the psalms in our evening worship or afternoon worship as we've been finished our look at Hezekiah before we take up the book of Ecclesiastes. So I thought it wouldn't be a bad idea to continue and look at some. And given that it's a Sunday afternoon and a short psalm for a short service, but I hope one that will be edifying to us and helpful in our worship and praise of God. Let's hear together the word of the Lord from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we can hear it. We thank you that we can understand it by the power of the Spirit who illumines our minds, that same Spirit of truth and grace that caused this word to be recorded so many years ago now works in our lives so that the record continues. And it is a living and an accurate record of who you are. And Father, we pray that we would worship you as we ought this afternoon and at all times, that indeed our attitude would be that of joyful thanksgiving. We pray that would increase even now as we look to you in your word. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. It almost seems redundant with this congregation to read Psalm 100 and exhort you to sing praise to God. We are a congregation that loves to sing, and maybe we need to be reminded of what we heard this morning, to be careful that we don't become proud of our God-given ability to sing and to praise the Lord. I have had the privilege of being in other churches. Privilege, I guess, is the right word. But in one occasion, we had a man, and he said that this is the best I can do. I can make a joyful noise. I can't carry a tune in a basket, but I can make a joyful noise. And he really did understand what it means to shout unto the Lord. But we realize that worshiping God is something that we have a tremendous privilege in doing. And it's reflected throughout the book of Psalms. It's reflected even in Christian hymnody, such as the hymn we just sang. We recognize that God, as the creator of all things, is to be worshipped by all things. There's nothing outside of creation. There's nothing in creation that is exempted from giving God worship and praise. The sun shines at his command. The tempests arise by order from his throne, we just sang. Everything, the winds and the weather, are all part of God's glorious plan to bring praise to himself. How much more should we, who are his people, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth? No one is exempted from the worship of God. And we should see it as a great joy and privilege. The psalm here instructs us that we are to serve the Lord with gladness. Now here, again, I feel it's not something that we have a huge amount of trouble with, but we do struggle, don't we, with our emotions, with how we feel. We are to bring joyful and glad worship to the Lord. We are to come into his presence singing his praises. I know that a number of you have read Table Talk in the past. I don't know how many of us are reading it currently and are right up to date, but you will remember there's that little phrase that R.C. Sproul liked to use, Coram Deo. Remember that? You remember what it means, Coram Deo? Before the face of God. Everything we do in life is before the face of God. We believe in an omniscient God, an omnipresent God, an all-knowing, everywhere present God. So everything that we do is before his face. And while all of life is worship in one sense, there are times, as this psalm reminds us, that we come with thanksgiving into his courts. There's a special time of gathering together. We, as New Testament believers in Jesus Christ, we gather together on the first day of the week, remembering that Christ rose again on the first day of the week, and he established a new order. And we would come together not to end the week in rest, as the Old Testament Sabbath was laid out by God for his people, but beginning the week in the rest of the finished work of Jesus. So there's a special time of coming together to worship. Now, it's been said before, and I think Adam said it fairly recently, that we should make singing part of our regular worship. I know we like to do it when we're together, and it's good, it's pleasing to the Lord and right, but it's also good for us to sing privately in our homes, with our families, with our friends. Singing is really one of the most beautiful things in the essence of worship, that we can blend our voices together and praise God for who he is and for all that he has done. And that begins with his work of creation. The doctrine of creation is not some peripheral doctrine. It doesn't matter what you think about creation. It is essential and central to our worship. We see it again and again in the book of Psalms, again and again in the scriptures. God is our creator. And so we sing his praise. We are doubly his in that he made us, and we are the sheep of his pasture. God is our God. He made us, and we are his. He owns us by right of creation, and he owns us by right of redemption. He has brought us back from being a wayward people, a people who were scattered throughout this world, and drawn us together. And when we look around, I mean, we tend to become very familiar with one another. We've seen each other's faces week in, week out, not just on Sundays, but we forget that, why are we here? Why are we together? Why are we one flock? Because the Lord has made us and has drawn us together and brought us to this place and to this time that we would worship and serve him. And so it's fitting that we enter together. In the Old Testament, first the people went to the tabernacle, then after the days of Solomon, they went to the temple, and then when the temple was destroyed, the temple is the true tabernacle. Jesus came to be with his people forever, and we enter now into his presence in his strength, in union with him, to give praise and thanks to God. God is to be thanked and blessed because he loved us so much he gave his son. How much more could we give? Well, there is nothing more we could give. Nothing could begin to rival the generosity of our God in giving his son for us. And so when it comes to worship, we might think, oh, well, what? Well, no, how can I add to this? When there's nothing we can add. We come simply claiming the fact that Jesus is our Savior, that he made it possible that we would stand in the presence of Almighty God, not only for an hour on a Sunday afternoon or half an hour, but for eternity. That for all time, we will be able to praise and worship God with joyful thanksgiving because of Jesus Christ. In this afternoon hour, we grow very weary. We grow tired, and our minds wander, and our bodies want to relax more and more. And we just say, well, how can... But you know, the day is coming. The day is coming when weariness will not be a factor, when our voices will not give out, where we will be able in triumph to make an unending joyful noise to the Lord with all the earth. Remember that when Jesus Christ returns and ushers in the kingdom of righteousness in its completed and perfected state, we are going to see this world as it was intended to be upon its original creation, without sin, without any taint. And the beauty and the majesty and the glory of God in his creation will be something that will occupy our hearts and minds for all eternity. We will never grow weary of blessing our God. It's hard to imagine how that will even happen because we're so bound up by our frailty and our weakness here. But we look forward to that day. And I hope that we all look forward to these weekly foretastes of glory, these reminders that once a week we can come together as God's people to make a joyful noise, to sing his praises, to give thanks to him, to remember who he is as our creator and redeemer. And remember that he is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. It's impossible to fully understand that. God is good, and his love endures forever. We are such creatures of time and space. Our emotions rise and fall. Our love grows and diminishes. Our faithfulness at times is all but invisible. And yet, with our God, there is an ever-present, enduring love and faithfulness. While we shift, while we vacillate in our emotions and in our actions, our God never does. How fitting that we should worship this God of all creation, this God who has redeemed us and given us his Son. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. May God help us to do that because of who he is, not because of who we are. Again, let us put ourselves in abject humility before him, crying out that he would be merciful to us in our time of need and bless us with all good things in Jesus Christ. Father, we do enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise because you've made us to do so. We ask, O Lord, that you would give us a greater appreciation of who you are. May we see ourselves for the sinners that we are. And as we acknowledge our own fallenness, our waywardness, may that, O Lord, cause us to magnify your grace, to extol the beauty of your holiness, to give praise to you who live forever. Lord, we thank you that your love endures forever and that your faithfulness is to all generations. We do not know how many more generations shall come and go. The Apostle John prayed at the end of the Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus, even so, come. We do not know when the day will dawn, when the hour will appear, when the Son of Man will be made manifest. But we look forward to that day, and we pray that we would be ready for it, that we wouldn't grow weary of waiting and worshiping and serving you until the time comes for us to be taken home or for the Lord Jesus to return. Help us, Father, to number our days rightly and to use everything we've been given for your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.